It's now time for Living in the Now with me, Marie-Ange Lunasco, and my guest today, all the way from California, Jean Heilerman.
Hello.
And Jean Heilerman is a yoga teacher.
Yes.
So, Jean, you in Europe for 3 months, or you were in Europe for 3 months,
yes,
traveling all over different places, including Norway, mm-hmm, other countries of mm-hmm Scandinavia, like mm-hmm Sweden. You also went to Germany, mm-hmm, London, of course, mm-hmm, and you ending your trip here in, yeah, Dublin. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what brought you to Europe, in particular also to Dublin.
I came to Europe to teach some teacher trainings for yoga with a company that I work with, Yoga Works. And from there, I had made some introductions and met other studios when I was teaching in Europe a year and a half ago. So I contacted those studios and said, hey, I'm coming. Do you want to have me again? And many said yes. And so, and the new studios, for instance, here in Dublin, Yoga Hub, this was, I was introduced through another yoga studio owner, Paul Hardiman, who has a studio in Galway. And he recommended that I come here. So it's all been introductions through friends and one studio in London I knew from my yoga teacher, Rod Stryker, who's been there a lot. So I went to the Life Center. So it's all introductions and friends, and eventually you create relationships. And I want to come back to people if they'll have me, and they seem to want to have me come back. So it's fun.
So I was interested in your name because when I see your name, we pronounce it Jean, but
yes,
actually it's spelled the French way,
oui.
Jeanne.
Yeah.
So do you have any French background?
I do. There is French in me from my mother's side. My name is Jean-Marie, and then the last name is Heilerman, which is German. And I make the joke that I'm part French, and my father's side, there is some German. But from both parents, I have mostly Irish.
Do you know where about in Ireland?
There's O'Hara. So on my mother's maiden name is O'Hara. So where that is, and my father's mother's maiden name is Murphy. So there's a whole Murphy clan, I understand. And then my mother sent me a long email. It has a lot of other information. So I'm apparently more Irish than just the O'Haras and the Murphys. But I don't know where it is in the email right now.
So I was wondering a little bit about your yoga style,
yeah,
because being a yoga teacher myself, I was interested to find out the difference between the Californian style versus the European,
right,
or let's say even the Irish style.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose for me, I teach what I call healing yoga, which is a mix between Hatha yoga and, I suppose, from the perspective of healing, because a lot of people coming to yoga are in need of de-stress, they're in need of healing of,
yeah,
some way, shape or form. It could be physically or it could be emotionally. But your style that I've experienced anyway so far is very hands-on and very very fast, and you really feel toned afterwards, but
good,
you feel great inside.
Good.
And I was wondering, is this the kind of the trend in California, or is it more like your specialty? Can you tell us a little bit what you notice?
I would say in California, I live in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles, I've been teaching yoga for almost 17 years and practicing for 27. Yoga in California and in the States has always been a little bit more physical because that's how people often come in. We all come in because we want to move our body in some way. And what's happening right now is that yoga is very physical and it's very much a form of exercise. And the popular classes in Los Angeles, the popular classes have 50 people, if not more. 60 people, 70 people, 80 people.
In one class?
Yep.
For one teacher?
Yep. And so it's a little bit more celebrity driven for the teacher. And, you know, certainly the students are coming for a community and they sort of gauge if the class is good by how much they were sweating. I've actually been trained more in Tantra, which is not sex. You know, a lot of people think, ooh, Tantra, it's this weird sexual thing, which is a mistake. Tantra means weaving every aspect of your practice and your life into a spiritual experience. So it's, you know, some of us feel like if we go to church, then we're done with our praying and we're done with our spiritual, and we go to work and we're done with our work. In Tantra, we weave things. Washing the dishes can be a very spiritual practice. Having an argument with someone that you care about can be very spiritual and meaningful. So the way that I have learned and the way that I really love teaching is weaving physical in practice into certainly using the breath, because that takes it deeper. So I'm really pay attention to people when they're breathing. Many people don't even know how to breathe, or their breathing is adding to more anxiety. So I won't even fix a pose. I'll fix their breathing first. And then it's moving deeper. The whole point of yoga is to access something that's within you. And so we did move quick on Saturday, but we also, hopefully you felt that we moved deep. So that it was not just the physical layer. There's five layers to the body. They're known as koshas in Sanskrit. And so what I try to do was move into the other layers to help people learn that their mind can move at a different rhythm, and that their breath can change, which will affect how their mind thinks. And then how we think can ripple out into our destiny. So if we change how we're breathing, and that changes how we're thinking, if we're always thinking that things are difficult and miserable, we are going to manifest and attract difficulty. So if we change how we breathe, that'll change to maybe bring in some positivity in our thoughts, and that can bring in more positivity in our life. And when we have that, the tantric perspective is that we... instead of trying to change the world, we change our inner environment. And if we change our inner environment, then that helps ripple out into the people that we connect with on the street and in our life. And that can help make the world better. It's a lot. That was a lot.
Well, no, I found it very interesting to work together with the breathing and the physical, because a lot of the time, I think the trend in Dublin is very similar to mm-hmm. California, in the sense that for many yoga teachers, become a physical practice. And sometimes, and I'm not saying always, but sometimes the breathing and the more spiritual aspect can be a bit lost in that it just becomes an exercise class. Mm-hmm. So the idea of interwoving some technique that are not necessarily accessed at other classes into the practice is very interesting. And you were talking about your background mm-hmm. being in the tantric, and this is something I wanted to develop a bit more, because I think in many places, including Ireland, it's mm-hmm. a widely misunderstood yeah. conception. People think tantric is this kind of new age whatever.
Yeah.
It has been, I suppose, misused.
Very much.
So tell us a little bit about what it means to you and how it comes into your teaching.
Well, what happens is what a lot of people think of when they hear Tantra is, ooh, wild sexual practices or poses or whatever. And as I was explaining offline to you, it's as if I were to ask you to get me some fruit at the grocery store, and you come back with some cherries and strawberries and blueberries, and I say, that's not fruit. And you look at me wide-eyed and say, yeah, it is. And I say, no, kiwis. Kiwis are fruit. And if my understanding of fruit is only kiwis and nothing else, that's kind of what people are doing now with Tantra. What happened is, I believe it's a few Americans, my own countrymen, who came from India learning lots of stuff, but then they took one aspect of Tantra, some of the sexual practices, took it out of context because they can make a lot of money. And certainly sex sells, and all of a sudden, and they put a label on it called Tantra. And it's Tantra, real Tantra. You know, a yoga practice is a Tantra practice if you are leaving with energy, not depleted. If you've actually been encouraged to do a regular asana practice, but work with your breath and doing things, extending your breath, you know, holding your breath, or just regulating your breath. And so it changes your energy. And one of the other aspects is the mind. You're actually asked many times in yoga, we're asked, we don't want to think, but the mind is always thinking. The mind is meant to think. And so we say, great mind, if you're such a thinker, let me get you involved to, because usually what we think about will start to manifest. If I start talking about chocolate cake, both of us are going to start having mouths water for chocolate cake. We don't even have any chocolate cake here. So if I start thinking about something and manifesting something or cultivating an energy or even crazily a color inside a certain region of my body, that can actually bring healing or power. And then the main thing that tantra is mantra. And, you know, people say mantra. It's M-A-N-T-R-A. It's pronounced mantra. And all tantrics practice with a mantra. And sometimes the biggest tantra practice is repeating a mantra. And yogis use mala beads, which is just like a rosary. And, you know, each bead represents the repetition of a mantra. And it's that repetition, that vibration inside that can actually change the energy of change how someone is thinking, change how someone is breathing, and change someone's instincts. If we were born thinking that the world, you know, is difficult and we're not worthy, using a mantra in Sanskrit, the Sanskrit is very powerful because each letter in Sanskrit, it directly correlates to one of the chakras. And so you're actually rewiring yourself from deep inside. So you could walk around saying, I am love. I am lovable. I am lovable. Everybody loves me. But something usually inside of us from when we were three that started that message that I am not lovable will not be convinced and will possibly resist it. So if we go past all that to something that's not even conscious and rewire it with mantra, it can actually make huge, major changes. And I say this from experience, and I resisted this a lot, and I had a mantra that I was working with for about 10 years, and it gently did really change me and make me lighter and happier. And I started out studying this stuff really cranky and sad and angry, and I feel like I'm a living example of the magic that it can offer. So tantra, it's more about how to work with energy and with your mind to change your experience in life so that you see everything, even an argument with someone, as I mentioned, someone that you care about. Actually, real tantrics, we're constantly looking at ourselves and say, okay, where's the good in this? Where is the, you know, there's an argument with someone. This is difficult. So where is God in this? And God is always there. And I know some people can feel really, if they go through a difficult time, they could feel like God has left them. And tantrics say, no, 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 we have to look at the dark as well as the light. And we have to look at our darkness and the negativity about us as well as the good stuff. So it's, you know, it's like bring it, face it, and go into the darkness, because certainly when you shine a little bit of light on darkness, it's not dark. So if we look at our crummy stuff, then it's not all so crummy after all. And a mantra can help heal all that. It's a lot of stuff I'm saying, so guide me if I'm overwhelming you.
Well, I was interested as well about exploring maybe how you would see meditation, because again, that would be to me a direct link, because mm-hmm. a lot of the time mantra would be used in meditation. Yeah. Now, it can be used at any time. You could be using mantra while you wash the dishes.
Absolutely.
Or while you do your yoga practice.
Or while you're standing in line.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the majority of people would be more familiar with using a mantra while they meditate. So I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about what meditation means to you.
You know, meditation was when I first started, you know, 15 years ago, exploring meditation, because I knew that was the next step for yoga, not just asana, but I couldn't meditate. I couldn't sit down and I couldn't be still and I couldn't quiet my mind. So I just kept reading about it because I figured, well, if I can't do it, I'll read about it because that'll hopefully talk to my subconscious. Meditation, in Tantra, let me back up. A lot of people think meditation is when you just sit and you quiet the mind. And certainly there's Buddhist styles, Vipassana style and everything, where you just watch your breath and you let everything come up and you tell yourself, you're just thinking. And there's many wonderful practices in Buddhist meditation. With Tantra, we use mantra, or we use things called yantra, visualizing symbols, or moving the breath in different ways, pranayama. And the whole point is to eventually access a light that dwells within us. The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali talk about in chapter 1, verse 36, and he gives a bunch of ways of how you can quiet your mind. He says, or by focusing on that light within. And the light within, it's a flame of the divine that dwells within us. And one of my meditation teachers, Sally Kempton, I learned a simple mantra in English from her. God dwells within me as me. And it's very much in line with Christianity and Catholicism that believes in the Holy Spirit. And so what we do in meditation, in a tantric meditation, is to, you know, the first 15 minutes is not meditation, it's concentration. And we concentrate the mind, give it a muscle. The mind is a muscle that we can work on. And then we try to move deeper inward and start to get the crud out of the way so you can actually, you are revealed that you're divine. And it's not an egotistical thing to say, oh, I'm really cool, I'm divine. But it's, you are divine and I'm divine. When I start to touch and see that within myself, I'm able to see it in everybody. And I'm able to see beauty where I wasn't able to see it. And so meditation can actually heighten my experience in this physical world. And so personally, I use it because if I don't do it, I'm only going to believe in this physical world. And this physical world can get us down if we pay too much attention to it.
And I was wondering if you could give us a short example of what a meditation is, just for a few minutes.
Yeah, so would you like, I will take you through one. Would
do,
you like that?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So let's all sit, if you can, and whether you're on a chair or on the floor, whatever is comfortable for you, and try to bring your shoulders back in line with your hips, and then bring your ears back in line with the shoulders and hips. That is a way to help you sit tall. And if you need help on that, if it's uncomfortable, sit on some blankets or a pillow just to lift your bum a bit higher. And just begin breathing through the nose, in and out. And watch the breath move in and move out. Now as you inhale, see if you can stretch it out a little bit longer than you normally would. Exhaling as long. And we'll use a mantra. As you inhale, silently, mentally, repeat the sound so, S-O. And as you exhale, repeat the sound hum. H-U-M, hum. So as you inhale, hear so. And as you exhale, hum. And your mind will probably tell you other things as well. It's all fine. Just turn up the volume to so, hum. So, hum. The ancient yogis found that all living beings vibrate to this rhythm of so hum, even animals, trees, and other people. So when we tune into this rhythm, we're aligning ourselves with nature. So hum. And when you inhale, move your breath. Imagine your breath traveling down your spine to the very base of your spine. And as you exhale, let the breath travel all the way up your spine to the top of the spine, to through the crown of the head. Inhaling down, sit bones getting heavy, so exhaling up the spine, crown of the head to the sky, hum. Stay with the sound, stay with the breath. And if it happens naturally, let your breath get really light, barely audible. It's as if you're breathing inside of yourself. So, hum. This mantra literally means, I am that. That with a capital T, which is the divine. You don't have to believe it. In fact, don't even think about it. Just feel the vibration. So, hum.